Se querían, sufrían por la luz, labios azules en la madrugada, labios saliendo de la noche dura, labios partidos, sangre, sangre dónde. Se querían en un lecho navío, mitad noche, mitad luz. Se querían como las flores a las espinas hondas, a esas amorosas gemas del amarillo nuevo, cuando los rostros giran melancólicamente, giralunas que brillan recibiendo aquel beso. Se querían de noche, cuando los perros hondos laten bajo la tierra y los valles se estiran como lomos arcaicos que se sienten repasados, caricia, seda, mano, luna que llega y toca. Se querían de amor entre la madrugada, entre las duras piedras cerradas de la noche, duras como los cuerpos helados por las horas, duras como los besos de diente a diente solo. Se querían de día, playa que va creciendo, ondas que por los pies acarician los muslos, cuerpos que se levantan de la tierra y flotando. Se querían de día, sobre el mar, bajo el cielo. Mediodía perfecto, se querían tan íntimos. Mar altísimo y joven, intimidad extensa, soledad de lo vivo. Horizontes remotos, ligados como cuerpos en soledad cantando. Amando. Se querían como la luna lúcida, como ese mar redondo que se aplica a ese rostro. Dulce eclipse de agua, mejilla oscurecida, donde los peces rojos van y vienen, sin música. Día, noche, ponientes, madrugadas, espacios, ondas nuevas, antiguas, fugitivas, perpetuas, mar o tierra, navío, lecho, pluma, cristal, metal, música, labio, silencio, vegetal, mundo, quietud, su forma. Se querían, sabedlo.
No disrespect, but that sounded a bit like my wife giving out to me. Well done. Who's the boss for that girl? Bob Dylan has just come in, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that right tonight? Is it tonight?
This man is going to read poetry in Irish and English.
First one was, I wrote it in an airport. Well, I got the idea in an airport, just watching everybody being totally private with themselves. And nobody even talking to each other. Everything was sticking out of their ears and mobile phones in front of their faces. And God help us, but they weren't going to talk to each other. So I wrote this. Private bubbles. Yeah. A group of us is waiting to travel to God knows where, be camped inside the departures before taking to the air. We could start a conversation, have a laugh or share a joke. Instead we hide inside the world we built around our phones. Our fingers dance out messages, we listen to download tunes, unaware of what surrounds us outside our virtual tubes. We don't want any strangeness to upset our order of life. Much easier to have it filtered by ratings, apps and light. Even our communication needs not a spoken word, and thoughts can now be tweeted on a cyber message board. We fill our texts with cliches, smileys and abbreviations, so bland and devoid of meaning that they divide interpretation. So do we really need to travel, other than to say we've gone, when all our life we pack inside our mobile phone? We can snap our list of photos, then fly back home from it all, and watch our private bubbles grow into a solid wall.
Excuse me, sorry. Second
poem I have in one Irish and English. It was written originally in Irish. It's somewhat personal, this one. So, in English, it's Together Again. Your eyes, they flicker, your cheeks, they glow with all the passion of youth. The years and your troubles cast aside, as you follow his every move. You're happy again, and I'm happy for you, though my heart is breaking inside, because he is the flame that lights your life, just as yours lights mine. Alas, in the hole, da had the flow, ne blind to support the leg, stu crinna her rach at a yeam in the gale, Ramahoy, Garashid Hale.
Pas of the Leash, and Songs of the Horn, and Yon of Hran Cree, Fruit of Hagen, Lass of the Vahe, on his Ocha, or Lass of Hain, Nimmer.
So this next poet is Mary Honan.
I'm going to read a poem that I read last week because a friend of mine asked me to. I'm coming to the end of a PhD on Holocaust literature from the child's perspective, and I became very friendly with a poet, the first Roman Catholic lecturer at Trinity College in English, Micheál O'Shea, who wrote a very famous, beautiful book of poetry called The Gossamer Wall, based on the Holocaust. And halfway through my master's, I found out that my own background is Jewish, so it just kind of made sense for me. And the poem is called Faces. Neat millions of pairs of abandoned shoes, creased with mute presence of those whose faces both stare and vanish. Which ghetto? Warsaw, Vilna, Lodz, Riga, Kovno? 800 dark-eyed girls from Salonika, bony and sag-breasted, singing the Hatikva. Tread the barefoot floor to the shower room. Friedlander, Menesh, Bernstein, Bloom. Each someone's fondled face a named view. Did they hold hands the moment they knew? I'll change their shame to praise and renown in all the earth, always each face and shoeless footfall, a breathing memory behind the gossamer wall. Thank you.
Saving the House of Dunwich. Dunwich is an
Bill
old house out there.
Hackett is up next.
Moira's area.
He's an actor.
If you know the Moira's area, it was an old house which was. Of course, this man would explain it better.
John McCarthy is the MC.
In the play.
Tall man, glasses, short sleeve shirt. Obviously got a bit of sun. Got a mustache as well. He's in a snake. He's gonna talk.
Está nosotros de español. Mi estrella española. La noche oscura desciende. El fantasma de Charlemagne habiendo robado a Nación de su alma una gran cantidad de señores sin medida, no de oro, plata ni piedras preciosas, pagara el rescate a la austeridad. ¿Es este nuestro legado a la posteridad? No. La luz del sol brillante asciende. Nuestro corazón late un ritmo flamenco. Sentir el ritmo es la pasión. Amor a la pasión es la vida. La vida española es el camino. En el círculo de estrellas que brillan. Sí. Thank you.
There are a lot of Spanish students.
Do it in English. My Spanish star. Dark night descends. The ghost of Charlemagne has come, robbing the nation of its soul. A wealth of treasure beyond measure. Not gold, silver, nor precious stones will pay the ransom to austerity. Is this our legacy for posterity? No. Bright sunlight ascends. our heart beats a rhythm, flamenco. Feeling the beat is passion. Loving with passion is life. Spanish life is the way. In the circle of stars shining, yes.
My second poem doesn't rhyme. It's called Irish Rain. It's written in blank verse. Rain can be ethereal, jewel-like. Can turn the mood to dance. And like Clark Gable, one can float o'er pavements as light glistenings in a beatific dream. The heart can be filled with love, where the sharp coldness of the rain cannot dampen the passion between soulmates lost in each other's arms. And this can be Irish rain at times, when clouds, silver-edged, move overhead like a patchwork quilt, and light crackles strobe-like above lovers who are lost in the moment and the music of the rain. And memories are created like ripples in the mind. Oh, let this dance last forever. And in the rainbows that ensue across a Rembrandt sky, a myriad of colors flood the heart and caress the soul. Years afterwards, I can still remember the rain on her face, her wet, bee-stung lips glistening, her concupiscent eyes. Then there is the other sort of rain, that cold, hard, stinging rain that burns corrosively like acid, that mordant, soul-destroying rain that can come in sheets with no sign of relenting. During that rain, one hopes for a bridge or an archway to dive under for sanctuary. This is another variant on rain, the Frank McCourt's rain, that rain which pisses upon a life with no sign of abatement, when life becomes numbingly unlifelike. And the memories of that rain aren't memories, they're fucking nightmares, and every drop that falls disfigures the soul like some Dorian Gray caricature. For this is ne'er a baptism, but an excoriation of the hopes and dreams of man. Then in the hollow of time, staring out of that ordinary archway or bridge, a truth glimmers in the recesses of a mind. One spies in the far distance, in the moving throng of umbrellas, two people, two lovers locked in an embrace, a poutantly burgundy-clad girl with bee-stung lips, and a man who used to be me. The rain falls around them as if in an ethereal cocoon. I can continue watching from my sanctuary and cannot understand what was once a beatific dance has now become a raging tempest. I close my eyes and for a brief moment everything goes pitch black and all I can hear is the dance of the rain and the echo of the past. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Rick. This is Jean from France.
Hello, good evening. Sound is good. Thanks. So, I'm afraid I don't have anything new tonight, so I'll go back to an old one I like. It's a poem by one of my favorite poets, Charles Baudelaire. And the original version followed by the English translation by Edna Samson. It's called « The Enemy ». Ma jeunesse ne fut qu'un ténébreux orage, traversé çà et là par de brillants soleils. Le tonnerre et la pluie ont fait un tel ravage qu'il reste en mon jardin bien peu de fruits vermeils. Voilà que j'ai touché l'automne des idées et qu'il faut employer la pelle et les râteaux pour rassembler à neuf les terres inondées où l'eau creuse des trous croix comme des tombeaux. Et qui sait si les fleurs nouvelles que je rêve trouveront dans ce sol lavé comme une grève le mystique aliment qui ferait leur vigueur. Ô douleur, le temps mange la vie et l'obscur ennemi qui nous ronge le cœur, du sang que nous perdons croit et se fortifie. I think of my gonios as of a stormy sky, and frequently transfixed by a dazzling sun. Tempest and high have done their work, and what have I? How many fruits in my torn garden? Scarcely one. I know that I approach the autumn of my mind, and must reclaim once more the indented earth. Washed into stony trenches deep as graves, I find, I wield the rake and the hoe, asking what it is worth. Who can assure me this new flower for which I toil will find in a disturbed and unconstructed soil that mystic element on which alone they thrive? Oh, misery, misery, time eats up all things alive, and that unseen dark enemy upon the spilt bright blood we could not spare battens and is fulfilled.
French poem too. It's the story of when the author of the is Joachim Du Bellay, and when he wrote this poem, he was in Italy, and so he's talking about his sadness to be far from France, and so yeah. Heureux qui comme Ulysse a fait un beau voyage, ou comme celui-là qui conquit la toison, et puis s'est retourné plein d'usage et raison, vivant entre ses parents le reste de son âge. Quand reverrai-je, hélas, de mon petit village, fumer la cheminée, et en quelle saison reverrai-je le clos de ma pauvre maison qui m'est une province et beaucoup d'avantages. Plus le séjour qu'ont bâti mes aïeux que des palais romains, le front de la cieux, plus que le marbre dur me fait l'arvase fine, plus mon noir gaulois que le Thibault latin, plus mon petit liré que le mont palatin, et plus que l'art marin, la douceur angevine.
Lucia Bonetti from Limerick, next, Italian.
Okay, as we had some few love poems, this is a love poem, but this is a sad one. So. Silenzio, per favore. Grazie. Mare Nostrum. Few words on a scrap of paper brought by the waves to the sandy beach of the Mediterranean Sea. I would have wanted to stay with you. Don't forget me. I'll be back to you. Bahibik, I love you. On the deep marine bed, your body sleeps. Silver blue streams of fishes, like angels of an aquatic paradise, watch over your dreams. Your soul disperses into the infinite drops of the sea, the sea between suffering and hope, where hope often dies. As days and months and years pass by, the soft touch of your lips still on her lips, she whispers her words to the wind, with the hope that they'll be brought to your ears. I wish you had stayed with me. Bahibak, I love you.